Blog Talk Radio.
All right. All praises. All praises. Hello once again to another Wednesday, to another day. We are again here on Crown Talking Drums. We are part of the Crown Talking Drums radio station, and this is William, your host, The Rise of the Dry Bones. Okay? We do this every Wednesday, beginning at 9:30 until 10:30 or 11, give or take. But let's get at it. Let's get at it. There's this concept that I have been questioning and trying to understand, because when I listen to Christians discuss theology or spirituality or their religion, they always come up with a concept of free will. And I got to thinking about that. And free will, something that has allowed Christians to feel a reason of being. Now, this reason to be for them as free will, meaning that they are their own God, in a sense. Or a person is their own man or woman, and they can do what they want. They have free will to do right and wrong. They can do anything that they want to, as long as they deal with the consequences or be man or woman enough to deal with the consequences. This is the free will, as if a all-knowing God has no, just turned on the switch and let humans go do their own thing. Which, I mean, in fact, it does make sense, bearing the information, the history, the narratives that we get from them. But before we go into that, let's talk about this free will in terms of politics. So tonight, Zelensky, this fella coming in bad fashion, khaki green, I don't know what the thing looked like, at Tiger Woods sweatshirt. I don't know. The dude just looked bad. But anyway, he's in Congress begging for money. And I sat there for about 10 minutes. And every time that he said something, and every time that they clapped and applauded him, I didn't feel anything, as if as if there was no soul in it, as if there was no reason in it, no truth in it. So anyway, that was just my take on it. But he sat there pandering to these people who gives not a care about the people, all to money launder. And that's my take on it. It was a big money laundering scheme. He comes here, he panders for the money, we give him the money. Those people in the leadership, the degenerates in leadership, they make money off of giving him money. And the whole time, we're about to go into this Arctic Siberian freeze. There's going to be they already are saying during the Xmas season that the upper East Coast is going to have blizzards, so they're going to be out of power. It's going to be chaos here shortly, and they're over there giggling and pandering and smiling and bucking and chucking with a dude that is talking about he needs money and weapons to kill. This is where these Edomites are. This is where they have come. That's why it befuddles my mind, but it really doesn't. But it makes me sick to my stomach to believe that these people are leaders. Like, these people have duped the entire earth to believe that they are leaders. You know, then you got old man Joe going over to Africa, telling the Africans, you know, hey, we want to deal with you, you know, on this reparations and yada yada. But look, we don't want to give you no money. We just want to give you some, you know, we're going to give you $5 billion in solar panels. But wait, you got Zelensky trying to get 20 times that amount, and you're applauding him, and you're going to sign that money over to him, no strings attached. But you're going to go to Africa and say, here, I'll give you $5 billion in solar panels. And if we don't see the hypocrisy and the degeneration of thought and mind that these people have and are in, then shame on you. Shame on you. Because they're by no stretch of the imagination at this point in the game. Should it be a surprise? A surprise when things start going south very quickly. It should not. And see, this is their free will in their mind to do these things. This is their free will. They can free will it all, free will all day long with our money on our behalf, because they know we have no power to stop them. None. And even the ones that do have power, they're getting a cut, so they ain't gonna stop it. And these people who you think are leaders, how can you lead the way that they are leading? It just doesn't make sense. And then I saw this article. It's just madness. It's just madness. This is, and it's funny because this is their issue. You know, 2020 census came out. I've talked about this before. 2020 census came out, and it said that by 2025, the so-called, in quotes, white people will become minorities, okay, by the 2020s. So this is the irony in it all. This is Fox News. Today, December 21st, 2022, 2 a.m., okay? So this morning, early this morning, calls for humans to stop having children go extinct, grow in media circles to breed or not to breed. That's the headline, okay? So New York Times recently profiled an advocate for human extinction. Several media outlets and talking heads have encouraged parents to rethink having children because human beings, even small ones like kids, risk polluting the world and causing global climate destruction. So, you know, the madness. Pardon me on that. So this type of madness is what we have leading, risk polluting the world. Now, there's so much land out here, so much land. All over the world, that they're acting like too many people is the problem. They're unwilling to say within their free will, their choices have made the world a horrible place, a place of evil. I'm just going to say it like that. Their decisions have created population demise and increase, okay? So now they're coming out here today in this day and age talking about human beings risk polluting the world and causing global climate destruction, still unwilling to acknowledge their free will of the past in doing what they have done to everybody, to many, and in particular and specifically the children of God, okay? They won't acknowledge that, so they're going to tell people today not to have kids, not even acknowledging that their pharmaceuticals has left a lot of women, in particular the recessive gene women, barren. And they don't want to acknowledge anything that they have done. So they want to act like today their free will is to stop climate change, this climate change thing, this whole madness of climate change. When we know climate change is a scenario of the Father's change or judgment upon the earth, because it's his, which leads me to say, you know, 100 or so years ago, you know, even longer than that, all of these Edomites were God-fearing people. That's why they were able to get their blessings, because they had, to some degree, they had faith. They loved their Jesus. So they had faith. So they had some sort, even though the faith was delinquent at best, they still had faith, okay? And we're going to get to the free will and how it came to be, because what people don't realize is that everything is ordered. The Most High has order. For a time, he allowed the Edomites, Esau's time, because that was part of the blessing, that Esau was to get to break the yoke off the neck of himself and put the yoke onto his brother. So he was going to be over his brother for a time. Again, these things are not difficult. These things are stated in prophecy. This birthright, what is a birthright? A birthright, it is a it is ownership, birthright, ownership, right? I have a birthright and I have ownership in it, okay? So when Esau gave up his ownership of his birthright, it went to Jacob. Now, really quickly, yes, Jacob took the birthright. Esau gave it up. Although Esau was joking in his mind and feeling like it's like, whatever, of course I'm going to get it, it was not ordained. It was not ordained to have Esau. Moreover, the birthright is for the father to give, the father to give. So we look at Isaac, who gave the birthright, but it actually was the father who gives the birthright. How so? Because when Esau came back in and was like, yo, what about me whining and crying? He said, what else do I have to give? The father gave me the birthright. I've given it to you. I've gave it to your brother. I don't have another one. I don't have another birthright for you. So the ordainment was for Jacob. But Esau wanted it back. So over the course of time, the Most High is fair because he knows that he ordained Jacob, but Esau was supposed to have it by way of tradition. So he allowed Esau to have time with his birthright, but a time, not his birthright is given back to him forever. That's not how this works. I mean, Jubilees tells us that, you know, if the sun and the moon are no longer, then, you know, his people, the father's people will be no longer. So we can look in the stars, in the skies today and see that there's moon and stars. So therefore, his people are still around, which goes back to what we're talking about, the free will. The free will. I haven't gotten into it because there's a free will versus, okay? So, you know, when we look at how things are today, we just need to backtrack. We just need to backtrack. We can re-engineer and see how all this stuff went wrong. Because, you know, today, in today's society, you got people acting like you know, their Christianity, their Buddhist, which, mind you, Christians talk about faith and forgiveness. Islam talks about worship, okay? Hindu talks about the power or the chakras. Buddhists talk about the enlightenment. So you got forgiveness, worship, power, and enlightenment. These concepts were first given to the Israelites or the chosen seed, okay? The chosen seed, the bloodline, birthright, those people, all that information. That's why it's funny to me because they took, out of all the books that they took the ones that benefited them and created what we should just call it the Roman Bible. This is the Roman Bible. But all the other books that talk about what we're going to go into in a moment, they took out, okay? They took them away. They didn't want no parts of that. Because when you talk about free will and versus what we'll talk about, predetermination or predestination, you gather a different take on prophecy. See, the books are all, prophecy. Every prophet, every apostle, every teacher, everyone had a prophecy. They all saw something that was to come. It's just like Abraham's the father of all these religions that they talk about, and nobody wants to, the apocalypse of Abraham ain't even talked about. Moses is attributed with writing the first five books. But is that actually the case? There's so much information out here. The father said, he said, hey, write these so that the worthy and the unworthy can both read them, but save them 70 for last. So the mere fact that there's going to be more information at the end last, he said, save the 70 for last. So the inclination is that there will be more information at the end. But the way people are today, what they're doing, especially these Christians, they're doubling down on the same book. It's like they're trying to play blackjack, talking about, I'm going to double down on this three that I got. I got five in my car, so I'm going to double down because I think I can get a 16 card. It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. So instead of people trying to gain understanding of all the knowledge, they want to only deal with one piece of it. We are at the point in time where we have the ability to have the fullness of the gospel, meaning all of it, read all the information, and I dare say all, because I'm sure that there's so much more. The ones that we can, we have the opportunity to read and be and deal with. But the Christians, who, mind you, their churches are dwindling. Everything is dwindling on their churches. They only want people to think about their books. Hold on one second. Excuse me, sorry about that. So they only want us to deal with one book. And that book is theirs. They don't even want to conceptualize anything other than what they provided. And that becomes the problem, because when you read other books, it's just like Esther, the book of Esther. They stopped the book of Esther in the third chapter. Why? Why would you do that? You know, they stopped Acts in the 28th chapter when it's the 29th. Why? Why would you do that? We've got the Old Testament. Well, we know why they would do that. It's not hard to see why they stopped these things, because they only wanted a certain narrative to go out. But when you read Acts 29, you'll understand. When you read the rest of Esther, you understand. Those are just a couple. They don't even talk about the Maccabees, and the Maccabees starts out talking about Alexander, which is who they start their whole history with. You know, I'm not even going to get into the Khazars, because, you know, they are on, at this particular point in time, they are on the slow walk of tears to worship at our feet. We ain't got to worry about them, because they're about to be exposed in a way that the whole world is about to be upset about. Okay, but these Edomites, who don't quite understand their own history, have lost sight of why they even were able to be within the blessing. And that's what this whole Zelensky thing is. They try so hard to take all of the resources, all of it, back across to Ukraine and Khazaria, Ukraine, so that they can have all. They're trying to have all, and the father's not going to let them have it. He said, if I don't come back sooner rather than later, they will like him to destroy it all. Destroy everything. So he ain't gonna let them, okay? But all right, let's get into what I, you know, that was just a quick soliloquy, because, you know, we got to start critically thinking about things. We have to really start looking at it from the perspective of why is this, and what is in it for the people? Entire book, all of it, all of scripture, every single word was about and for and by Israelites. We call them Israelites, but the people from the lineage of Shem, the lineage of Melchizedek, the lineage of Seth. It was always talking about that lineage, those people. But somehow you've got the Khazars or the Ashkenazis, who clearly in, you know, the table of nations, so how they all of a sudden decided to usurp, watch this, take the birthright from Shem, I don't know. But you see this birthright thing, this ownership thing, Japheth, Japheth would dwell in the tents of Shem. So they took the birthright of Shem. Japheth did, just like Esau did to Jacob. So you got this whole scenario playing out, and people are not critically thinking, and I, for one, think that, you know, they're too jabbed up. They're too jabbed up to think critically. They're so caught up in their fear. They have no critical thought in their mind. They don't even want to talk about the last 100 years here in America in terms of a critical race fact. They won't call it a theory, critical race theory. No, there's no theory in this. These things happen. They don't want to even acknowledge that. So it only makes sense that if they can't even acknowledge the facts of what they've done in their recent history, they certainly aren't going to go backwards far enough to accept accountability in the things that they've done before. You know, this whole thing's about accountability, and it's so funny that they want to hold Trump accountable. Oh, we're going to hold him accountable. Wait, see, this is why it's going to backfire on all of them. It's going to backfire, because the things that they are screaming about that they want to do to Trump, it's going to flip. The father's going to flip it on them, because he don't like ugly. He don't like liars, cheaters, and thieves. He gave them enough time to get themselves right. And it's the funny of it all, you know, they talk about in the new so-called New Testament, they talk about grace, okay? Well, let me do this real quick. talk about grace. This is where they are now. They have grace to understand how to cleave to the people. Christ, they can't take Christ out of his people. He didn't just show up on the land and go, you know what, I'm here, I'm Christ. No, he came through a people. Oh, people don't understand that. They can't handle that. I want to do this because I think this is interesting. Okay, so grace. Okay, grace. So you gotta think about what's going on in our world, what has gone on in our world, okay? So grace. Okay, the opposite of grace is stiffness, inelegance. Oh, they want to give me similars. Hold on a sec. Bad manners, clumsiness, crudeness, indecency, rudeness, ugliness, disproportion, ignorance, imbalance, neglect, thoughtlessness, ineptness, mercilessness, tactlessness, unforgiveness. Grace, the opposite of grace. These adjectives or these antonyms are what we see today. So the people have never been under grace. They've been under their blessing from stealing the birthright because the father allowed them to have the birthright, to have ownership for time. Okay? And so now that time is up, and now they get to be under grace. They get a small window of grace to say, hey, I know that we screwed up pretty bad, and I know that Christ had some people, and I know that we've done some wrongs to these people, so I repent for the things that my forefathers did and were complicit in doing, and now I want to be part of the kingdom to come with the people of Israel. That's their grace. They have grace to do that. That's it. They don't have grace to kill, steal, murder, dismember, rape, lie, cheat, and steal. They don't have grace to do that. See, that's not the grace. They've been doing the opposite the entire time, claiming to be righteous. And we, or the Negro, who, mind you, have been told that they're savages, that they were, they needed, and they had no civilization, they needed enlightenment, that they were nothing. They were, you know, matter of fact, they were three-fifths a human, go into captivity, lose their heritage, lose their culture, their land, and their God. Somehow that correlation to this scripture gets lost. I mean, that's the same characteristics of Israel. So somehow that gets lost because they say that Jesus saved them of that. Well, okay, fair enough. Jesus saved you from wickedness. So now you have to atone, repent, and accept him by his family. Because what you do to my brother, you do to me. What you do to the lesser of me, you do to me. That's why he said, I never knew you. He's talking to the Christians, the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Hindus, who run around and proclaim that they are doing something in righteousness, but they're not. Why? Because their actions speak louder than words. This is just fundamental 101 spiritualism. This is, religion is out. Religion has nothing to do with the truth. Religion is the gatekeeper of the lie. This is just, again, this is 101, okay? So this is what I was thinking. I said, Father, I need to understand this free will, because if I got free will to do what I want to do, well then how is there prophecy? Okay? And I just asked the question, you know, I said, you know, what does the Bible say about predetermination? And this popped up. Now, I mean, the Father is wonderful the way he does these things when you are asking earnestly, because you truly want to know these things. Because everybody runs around talking about free will, free will, free will, but nobody's talking about predetermination or predestiny. And if Israel was predestined to go into captivity and predestined to have salvation, so watch this. And I'm going to read this, because I read this already, and I thought this was pretty good. I wonder, you know, it doesn't really give me who wrote it. Let's see. No, it really doesn't. But this is very good. Now watch this. In theology, but well, let me read the question. What does the Bible say about predetermination? Okay. In theology, predetermination is the act of God by which he foreordained every event throughout eternity. Everything from the flight of a sparrow to path of a hurricane was destined to occur by God in eternity past in the exact manner in which it occurs. As a leaf falls off a tree, it follows the exact course God planned for it to take from branch to ground when he created the universe. When a duck glides across the surface of a pond, the height and spacing of the ripples it makes were all foreordained by God. The one who holds the universe together, Colossians 1:17, has a plan, and his plan is being accomplished. This is Colossians 1:17, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Okay? Predetermination is also called casual determination. When God is the determiner, it can also be called theological determination. Predetermination is related to predestination, although the latter term is usually specific to God's choice of who would be saved, Romans 8:30, and those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. Okay? All prophecy reveals the fact of predetermination. Daniel 11, for example. And as for me, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood up to confirm and strengthen him. And now I will show you the truth. Behold, three more kings shall arise in Persia, and a fourth shall be far richer than all of them. Okay? For example, contains dozens of detailed prophecies concerning future events in Persia, Greece, Egypt, and other nations. Three times the phrase of the appointed time is used, Daniel 11:27, 29, and 35. So all these things will happen. It's a certainty. And they will happen at the appointed time. Appointed by whom? By God in his predetermination. Also in Daniel 11, we have the willful king prophecy about the Antichrist. The king will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god, little g, and will say unheard of things against the God of gods. He will be successful until the time of wrath is completed, for what has been determined must take place. Verse 36, Daniel 11:36. Note the last clause, what has been determined must take place. The events that Daniel sees must happen. Why must they happen? They have been determined by God to take place. Some argue that prophecy simply reveals the foreknowledge of a omniscient God without implying his determination. In other words, God can see the future without choosing it. In other words, God can see the future without choosing it. The counter-argument is that if God sees a future event and states that it will happen, then that event has essentially been predetermined, because if it fails to happen or if something else happens instead, then God is either unknowledgeable or a liar. Free will, okay? If God prophesies it, it will occur. The course is set. The destiny is sealed. Also, Daniel 11:36 clearly speaks of predetermination concerning the time of wrath. An obvious problem that arises regarding predetermination is the idea of man's free will. If free will means that God gives humans the opportunity to make choices that genuinely affect their destiny, then yes, human beings do have a free will. The world's current sinful state is directly linked to choices made by Adam and Eve. God created mankind in his own image, and that includes the ability to choose, so they say. If God has predetermined all things, then are humans nothing but passive game pieces moved about by the divine hand? No. The Bible also teaches human responsibility, which implies free will, right? So you have the responsibility to do the right thing, but that doesn't mean that you will do the right thing, right? Jesus said, "Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come." Okay, let's read that again. Woe to the world because of the stumble. Is that not what's going on today? There's a woe. There's a destruction. Destruction to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but destruction to the person through whom they come. Okay? That's Matthew 18:7. When Jesus says that sins must come, he speaks to predetermination. See, and he's saying sin comes, okay? But sins must come. But sins is not what must come. Sins is the action of the free will, okay? Or actually, it is predestined that man would misuse his free will, which then would mean destruction to come. So let's read that. When Jesus says that sins must come, he speaks of predetermination. When he pronounces a woe on those through whom sins come, he speaks of personal responsibility. In some incomprehensible way, God's predetermination does not negate our accountability in the choices we make. God is sovereign, yet our choices are real. Okay? So we make real choices, but the determination was already met. So you got micro and macro, okay? Individually, we make choices, but like we can make a choice to follow the Most High. But that doesn't mean that the destruction is not going to come onto the world for the sins that it's done. So the predetermination was the sins, what was the destruction, or the prophecy was the destruction of the world. Individually, you have the choice to follow the Most High, but you have the responsibility to follow the Most High. And people, why would he want robots? It's not about being a robot. It's about being accountable and having the responsibility to follow him in a world that says you are crazy if you do, in a world that is destined, it's like Marvin Gaye, in a world that is destined to die. See, the Edomites think that their world was going to go on forever, that's why they use free will so wickedly. Because they're like, shoot, this is going to go on forever, shoot. I'm sure the first time that they got their first taste of free will after being at the bottom for so long, they were like, man, this is what this is about, shoot. I don't care. When before they were living off the scraps of the food, the scraps of the table. When they got to the chance to sit at the table, scraps all around, and talking about people. So the hypocrisy probably began first, then the sin, the gluttony, then the seven deadly sins, right? And then from that point forward, it became a macro sin, which permeated throughout all of their civilization. Now, that's not to say that the civilizations that they colonized and conquered was not doing sin, but they weren't all doing the same sins that the Edomites were doing. Now, there's probably a lot of idolatry going on. You know, the Edomites want to say, oh, there was some cannibalism, but these are the same people who kill and eat their own as well, so then why would we believe what they're saying in the first place? Because all the signs lead back to what they were doing, not to what, you know, if I go in to your house and I say, yeah, and I destroy your house and I say, well, this house was dirty in the beginning. Well, how do I know that? If I know that you have dirtied the house, how can I know that the house was dirty from the beginning? All I see is your dirt. This is where we are. So let's read that again. When Jesus says that sins must come, he speaks to predetermination. When he pronounces a woe onto those through whom sins come, he speaks to personal responsibility. In some incomprehensible way, God's predetermination does not negate our accountability in the choices we make. God is sovereign, yet our choices are real. Acts 4:27-28 is another passage that reflects the predetermination of God. The early church in Jerusalem prays. Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people and the Edomite people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. There are several remarkable statements in this prayer. God's power and will were involved in deciding beforehand what would happen. That's predetermination. Jesus is the anointed or chosen one. That's predetermination. Even more mind-boggling is what was predetermined. The wicked conspiracy of Herod and Pilate and the mob of Edomites to murder, Edomite Israelites, to murder Yehoshaphat. The Son of God was crucified, yet the wicked act is covered by God's predetermination. It's no wonder that the prayer begins with, Sovereign Lord. And this is the funny. God's sovereignty is one of the most important principles in Christian theology, as well as one of its most hotly debated. Whether or not God is actually sovereign is usually not a topic of debate. All mainstream Christian sects agree that God is preeminent in power and authority. God's sovereignty is a natural consequence of his omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent, which subject to disagreement is to what extent God applies his sovereignty. All right, so see, there you go. This is Edomites. You know, if these guys had the understanding, If these people, the Edomites and the Khazars, the Ashkenazis, were the chosen people, they would not be debating that. They would not be debating that. That would not be even a consideration. It would be like, okay, Father, by your will, you know, just like Christ is by your will. And who are these monkeys? These inconsequential people, are they better than Christ? Are they better than the Father? No. So they're still debating things that they debated back then. They're still debating things that they debated in which books to take out. They're still debating these things. There should come a point where there should be no more debate. If the information was yours, it should be innate in you. There should be no more debate. I remember when I first, you know, I was debating this information, debating it, all up until the Most High put that spirit on me And from that point forward, I was like, whoa, whatever you say, Father. Oh, that's what it is? Okay. Oh, there's more? Oh, that confirmed that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Father. Oh, okay. There's more? Wow. Okay. Wow, mind blown. These jokers, they run around, pontificate. I don't know. Let's debate. Let's figure this out. If it was, if God is sovereign, then how sovereign is he? See, that's not even a consideration. The fact is that these people don't know him. They just don't know him. Matter of fact, they never knew him. Matter of fact, that's also in Jubilees, a book that they took out, that he put other spirits over them to lead them astray, basically lead them away from him so that they would never know him. But today, somehow, they think that they know him so much that they still got to debate him. They know him so much that they got over 200 denominations debating him, picking and choosing what they want to use of his word. Still coming up with things that make no sense. Still having charlatans able to take the money and run. Still lying, cheating, and stealing. Because if he was your God, and this was your information, at some point over the course of time, there would be a reckoning, and you would recognize the error, and you would not do it. But if you look at history, at his story, not the Father's, but the Edomites, Esau, and the Khazarian story, it's been nothing but killing, stealing, and destroying still to this day. Still to this day. That's why I'm just going to use me. That's why I don't have time to entertain these people. Now, I am cordial to them, but I don't have time for it. I don't want to hear their words. I'd much rather just go and read it myself. I'd much rather go and be quiet and read some book or go on YouTube, listen to some brothers that are like mine. I'm not worrying about Africa. I know that that's asinine. Now, it's not that there are none of our people over there. By no stretch of imagination, I'm sure there are. But that is not where we all came from. They didn't scatter us. Remember this. The Edomites and the Khazarians did not scatter us into all nations. The Father did. So he didn't need to wait until he allowed Esau or the Edomites to build a boat, to have the knowledge and ability to build a boat and go 64,000 times from Africa to the U.S., what we call the U.S. He didn't have to wait till then. He could just scatter us. That's how we ended up all over the world. Everywhere you go on this world, in this earth, everywhere, the place, the history, the ancientness of the land is dark. That's why it's funny. You go to Africa. Let's just use Africa for a hot set. You go to Africa, all of the Negroid statues' noses are torn off. It's like they find it off the ground, and out of the ground, they go, oh, shoot, tear off the nose. Leave the big lips, but tear off the nose. And they do this all over the place because they know that the Father scattered us all over the earth before they even got to the party. That's why they came looking for us. They didn't go, oh, well, let's figure out a way to get from, Portugal, Spain to China by going west. We know we're going to have to go east. But let's just go west. I think there's a faster route. What? Come on. See, that might have worked when we were asleep. That illogical concept may have worked when we didn't know any better. But today we know better. Okay, I know better. So that concept doesn't make sense. So then why did they come? Why did they go west? Dumb diversus, right? But they went west, why? To find the promised land. Oh, no, the promised land, Eden's in Africa. Everyone knew where Africa was. They were all over Africa. You think the father's going to let them just trounce all the blood that's in Africa on his promised land? Nope, he's going to wait till it was time for the people, for the foolish people to come over and destroy his people. Why? Because Israel and Jacob, or Joseph and Jacob, had to be in captivity together at the end. At the end. And, you know, like I'm looking at the World Cup, and I see nothing but Negroes that look like Americans on France. Whole team, they ended up, the whole team ended up looking like Negroes, not Hamites, Negroes, with the exception of the goalkeeper. But then I look at Argentina, and I see nothing but Europeans, not one Negro. So you would think that that would be, you would think that that France team was an African team and that Argentina team was a European team. See, this is the mix-up. This is the confusion of faces that they have put into the world. That's why the father has to come and sort it out. No one knows who they are. The only way that we know who each other is by our fruits and by our spirit. So when two spirits connect, oh, okay, yay, brother, hey, sister, what's happening? When two spirits don't connect, it's cordial and keep it moving. And then from that scenario, you get to see the fruits. So if two spirits do connect, but yet the fruits on one of them is rotten, then you can question them. That's why the world or the Edomites are so ignorant in their conceptualization, because they say only God can judge me. Well, I'll be a fool if I think that I'm going to wait until judgment day for God to judge me to get myself right. Now, in fact, that's not even biblical. You're supposed to be getting yourself right now. You're supposed to be repenting now. You're supposed to be doing the things right now. Not waiting, because when you wait and you up in, it's like getting, you know, it's like being in front of a judge. You're not in front of the judge. You're not in front of the judge before you committed the crime. You've already committed the crime, and you're in front of the judge. In this case, when we're in front of the Father, we've already lived our life. So we want to have lived the righteous life. So when we go before him, he says, my good servant, my son, my daughter, come over here to the right side. While the Edomites and the two-thirds Negroes, they're going, you know, YOLO, this is my world. I'm going to do what I want. Shoot, you only live one. You're living my best life now. I don't care who I got. I got to make this money. Come on over here to the left. I can't believe that only God can judge you. I'm judging you now. Just like the rich man. Listen, can you send an emissary back up to talk to my brothers? Because they would definitely change. They got the prophets. They got Moses and the prophets. I mean, what is this? If they ain't listened to them, why would they listen to me? So they don't want to be judged by Israel, took Israel out of the question, out of the picture, and created their own little Israel off of Japheth. We're going to just use Japheth's lineage and these converts, and what we're going to do is we're going to say that they Shem. Nobody will know. They won't know. Nobody will know. They won't know. All of a sudden, hey, they know. Now we got to create this law against them knowing. I mean, and if that's not foolish in itself, I, you know, hey, I'm who I am. Did you mad at me for reading and telling me and reading to for me to know who I am? So let me get this right. You, a convert, are upset at me for learning who I am? Nah, that doesn't work for me. Oh, you're going to jail. Well, I guess I'm going to jail, remember? I guess I'm going to jail. The Father said, you know, hey, if this is how it's going to go down, then let it go down. But I know at the end of the day, they will worship at our feet. That's why we ain't worrying about them. And the Christians who are being led astray are going to be caught out. They're going to be caught out because they're going to have that look on their face. Wait, what do you mean? I gave to the poor. I helped the homeless. And we've heard it before, but I never knew you. Okay? All right, let's go back. Let's get back in it. So this next part, well, let's recap real quick. This is Acts 4:27-28. Is another passage that reflects the predetermination of God. The early church in Jesus in Jerusalem prays, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the Edomites of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant, Yahawashi, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. There are several remarkable statements in this prayer. God's power and will were involved in deciding beforehand what would happen. That's predetermination. Jesus is the anointed or chosen one. That's predetermination. Even more mind-boggling is what was predetermined. The wicked conspiracy of Herod and Pilate and the mob to murder Jesus, the Son of God, was crucified, yet that wicked act is covered by God's predetermination. It's no wonder that the prayer begins with Sovereign Lord. That's verse 24. Joseph acknowledged the predetermination of God in Egypt when he forgave his brothers of their wickedness towards him. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is being done, the saving of many lives, Genesis 50:20. Man's intention is directly contrasted with God's intention regarding the same event. Okay? A belief in predetermination lets God be God. I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare it and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let them foretell what will come. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? Isaiah 44:6-8. Part of what identifies God as the sovereign ruler is the fact that he proclaimed long ago what will happen. Long ago what will happen. Scripture teaches that God's predetermination results in God's glory. God predetermined the crucifixion of Christ, which with the result that salvation is possible and God is glorified. God predetermined the abuse of Joseph with the result that many lives were saved and God was glorified. God predetermined that Jonah preached to Nineveh, and despite Jonah's ideas to the contrary, he preached there with the result that the whole city repented and God was glorified. God has predetermined the events of your life too, and he will be glorified in you, Israel, O Israel. Okay? And that's something else. So Gentiles say, well, you know, you guys think that nobody said that. We're saying we're the people. That's all we're saying, and we have a responsibility in when we say that. It's not we're saying that loosely like some, that they're all glad, like, you know, I'm just the people, so now I get to act the donkey. No, that's Christianity. Christian sanity says, you know, I'm saved and in favor. I'm highly saved. Shoot, once saved, always saved. See, that's Christian sanity. So when you hear today talk about, well, I'm an Israelite, so I'm chosen and you're not, and blah, blah, blah. See, that's Christian sanity. Matter of fact, that's just contrary to, that's contrary to the truth. Because the facts of the truth is, once you know, you have to take responsibility and be accountable. And see, that piece of it, those actions, that verb, to take accountability, be responsible, those are so tough. Because the world says you ain't got to be responsible, you ain't got to take accountability, unless, or rather, if you look like us, because this is how the world is, if you look like us, or if you think like us, then you don't have to be accountable and you don't have to have responsibility. But the moment you say, well, I don't want to think like you and I don't want to be you and nor do I look like you, so I'm going to take responsibility and accountability. I mean, I hear hate. That's all I'm hearing is I'm hearing that you hate what I – no one said that. You can go and worship Jesus. You can go to your churches. You can go and do whatever you – listen, nobody – no true Israelite walking in the truth of the Father at this day and age is worried about somebody, an Edomite in particular, or a Khazarian in particular. What they doing? Nobody cares. See, that's, again, that's Christian sanity. Oh, well, I need to get you to Jesus. Yeah, no, sir. No. That's not how this works. He chooses you. You walk towards the light when he's saying, hey, I'm choosing you. Come over here. And it's funny, all the old prophets, the Father would say, he'd even say it, or he'd have one of his angels or spirits, he'd say, Baruch, here I am. Where you at? Let me find you. Abraham, here I am. Hold on, let me find you. Moses, here I am. But somehow the Edomites and the Khazarians think that you know, God's just going to come to them in a dream. Listen, let me tell you something. I know you're dreaming, so I'm going to tell you that this is how it works. This is what you need to do. See, that's the negative energy. That's the lie, because the Father doesn't have to wait till you dream or you sleep. That's the whole point of our scriptures. Our scriptures are to show, and that's the thing. These are our scriptures, so we can own them again. We can take back our birthright again. That's the switch. That's why he said Esau is the beginning, or Esau is the end of the world, and Jacob is the beginning of it that follow it. So when Esau had all our birthright, or when Esau recaptured his birthright, he was able to take that to the end. But the beginning of the next world to come will be the proper birthright, which is more responsibility, which is more accountability. And, you know, I'm listening to the, it's like I was looking at at the store, and they had the Time magazine. They had this scrawny looking white fella Jesus on there. He said, and the verbiage was, "Who do you say that I am?" And I was like, "Well, you ain't Jesus. That's what I say." He said, "Saying, or you probably Jesus, but you ain't Yahweh." You know, it's like it's so crazy. It's so crazy now that everything that I see when it comes to this awakening or this scripture or these the spirituality as a spiritual light, as an Israelite, I can see right through it. It's like so transparent. It's so crazy, and I can't even believe that I fell for it. I just can't. Oh, well, you know, I'm Methodist or I'm Baptist or I'm a Presbyterian. But wait, I thought that we all supposed to just love Christ. Well, if you're part of my church, you got to love them the way I love them. If you're part of this church, you got to love them the way they love. Well, wait, I thought that there was only one way. But if you're in my church, you love them and you got to deal with my way of loving him. This is why all of it's gone. to hell in the handbasket. It's all gone. That's why he's taking it all away. He's taking it all away. So that was predestination. So I want to read something else. Hold on a second. What people don't realize, because this is where you have to be a historian. You got to put your – okay, so now I'm taking off my spiritual cap. And I'm putting on my historian cap, okay? So, okay, well, shoot, what is this what the Bible says about predetermination, okay? But wait a minute. So then how did this free will get into the picture? Where did it come from? If you're saying, if this is giving me Daniel, Colossians, Romans, Isaiah, Matthew, Acts, you know, on and on, where did this free will come in? I mean, I would think that free will would be in here somewhere, right? Okay, the 4th century common era, okay? So this is before Christ, the BC, before Christ, common era, okay? Not BCE, but common era, okay? 4th century. No, I take it back. This is after Christ, 4th century. This is after they kill Christ. No, it couldn't be. This is before they kill Christ. Okay. The term free will, liberum arbitrium, was introduced by Christian philosophy, 4th century CE. It has traditionally meant until the Enlightenment proposed its own meaning. It has traditionally meant lack of necessity in human will, so that the will is free, meant the will does not have to be such as it is. I mean, if I take that just on the surface, I go, well, dang, that's confusing. Dang, that's confusing. Because when I'm reading about predestination, I mean, it seems really simple here, but now this free will seems like it's really confusing. Very good. All right, hold on. So then I'm going, well, all right, well, wait a minute. Now, this seems a little confusing, right? Okay. So let's see, then who actually brought that concept into the scriptures? Because if it started in the 4th century, then let me get to this. Hold on, I'm on my historian hat, so hold on, bear with me. Fourth century BC, so it is BC, before Christ, started the first day of 400 BC and ended the last day of 301 BC. It is considered part of the classical era, epoch, or historical period, okay? So how long ago? So this says 2,407 years ago, BC. Okay. This century marked the height of God. So the 4th century BC, and you're going to see in a minute, the 4th century BC started the first day of 400 BC and ended the last day of 301 BC. It is considered part of the classical era, epoch, or historical period. This century marked the height of classical Greek civilization in all of its aspects. So this is the height. This is when Greece was... This is after Greece took the information from the Druids. This is during the times when they were trying to take the Egyptian information, the libraries, so forth and so on. Or not? I stand corrected. This is when they were trying to take the Nubian libraries. Okay, not the Egyptian, the Nubian. All right. So why am I saying that? Because I said, well, shoot, all of that don't even really make too much of good sense. And I'm a pretty good sense individual, so I just need to understand what the filth floor is really going on. Who came up with this free will philosophy? History of free will. The notion of compatibilis free will has been attributed
to both, check this out, Aristotle, 4th century BCE, and Epictetus, 1st century CE. It was the fact that nothing hindered us from doing or choosing something that made us have control over them. See, again, free will gives you no accountability. You got no responsibility, but you got all the control. I have the free will to control you because I feel like I got that free will. But wait, what have I done to you? It doesn't matter what you've done to me. I have the free will. But what about my free will? I don't care about your free will. Okay? But then you're stuck going, why? Why are you doing this to me? But see, the Bible, or from an Israelite perspective, it's, I have sinned. So this calamity is coming upon me because I've sinned. So therefore, I've done something. So it was predetermined that based on what I've done, this was going to happen. Manation. Responsibility, accountability. Hence why the heathen Gentiles cannot have a quality understanding of the scriptures and gospels, the metaphysics, the science, the mathematics, because they do not have the responsibility, nor are they accountable with that information. That's why they weren't able to have it. That's why they still to this day debating the same thing they've been debating since they stole the information under the Council of Nicene. Oh, well, you know, Jesus is God, the Trinity. Listen, none of that matters. What are you doing? What are you doing? What decisions are you making? Are you treating your neighbor right? What are you thinking? As an individual and a collective, what are you doing? Don't worry about what the Trinity is. You ain't got no, you do not have the capacity to understand that. That is not for you to decide, to even cogitate. What is for you to cogitate on an individual level is to do the right thing, period. That means if I get in my boat, let's say I'm, you know, it's 1490, I get in my boat and I go, you know what, I want to go to Asia, and then I get in there and I sail to Asia, or what I call India, or India Supreme, or the Americas, and I go, you know, there's a whole other civilization here. Wow. Maybe we can all be friends. Oh, no, stuff. The Edomites were like, well, shoot, these fools got everything. I ain't never seen this. I gotta take that. Free will. Not the fact that, oh, well, shoot, the Father has given me the ability, the opportunity, and the wherewithal to build this boat, to take this long trek, to get over here, to meet this new people, this new land. I'm going to do the right thing with this because the blessing was the fact that I was even able to come over here. No, sir. They were, shoot, they had a landline to the moon. They were like, listen. We got to get these niggas out of here. We got to take this here. They were not playing. They saw and they were like, yo, I'm taking this. Yo, these, what the? Get over here. Sail back in that rowboat all the way back to Europe and tell them to send more ships. We got to and bring the dogs and bring the warriors because we're going to take this over. And the Father was like, well, I predetermined this. You didn't even realize that. I'd already predetermined this upon my people. And while they were in their illogical, irrational Edomite mind and Khazarian mind of greed, kill, steal, and destroy, the Father was like, hey, you guys, slow down for a second. Understand that I'm letting you do this for a time. Yeah, wait, what about that? Take that. Listen, again, I'm going to tell you again. Listen, you get this for a time, and then it's going to change. Why are we worried about that? We don't care about that. What we care about is this here gold
and we're going to get them women, and we'll get them children, and we're going to get those beasts of the field, and shoot, we're going to get this new fruit, and we're going to get this land. He said, listen, you're going to, it's all right, slow down. I'm allowing you. We ain't worried about that. Fine, you get it for a time. Do what you're going to do.
And the angel was like, Father, are you sure? Because these fools look like they are just ravenous dogs.
Yeah, yeah, just write it down. Just write down what they're going to do. Write it down.
Matter of fact, you write it down in the book of life, in the book of death, and let them, and make them write it down to save until the end. And the Edomites are running around going, yeah, we take them. Kill, kill, get out of here. This is mine. You need to go back to Africa. Wait, how, what the hell? I ain't never been to Africa. This is mother. Shut up. Boop, boop. Stab. Boom, boom. Kill. Kill all those old people so don't nobody know nothing about it. Give me them books so I can sell them back over in Europe, and we're going to burn the rest of them. You know, get that woman over there. Do this to that child over there. You know, take this land. Write about it. Tell them what happened. Oh, great and glorious King Yada Yada Edomite, we have found the Garden of Eden.
What?
Send over more. And they just kept coming. And then another, and then England, what you talking about? What you talking about? They found the Garden of Eden. Send the boats. The Dutch, the Germans, and the French. Get over here fast enough to kill, steal, destroy. Couldn't get over here fast enough. And ne'er one of them understood that there was going to be a time limit on it. Ne'er one of them. Not one. They did not consider, dude, is there a time limit on this? Nope, they didn't. And so today, they have, based on the free will of their fathers, and the fathers and our fathers' predetermination for us, it has all come to a head. And here we are. Our prophecy is standing strong. Oh, well, shoot, look at that. It's 10:49 p.m., 12/21, 2022, and the rapture hadn't happened. Imagine that. That's why I keep looking at these Christians. I keep looking at them in their eyes. I just look at them like, I ain't scared. I'm looking at you in your eye because, first of all, I know you already probably took the jab because you've got a bunch of fear on you. I can smell it. I can see it. I can see right through you. And you ain't raptured. What's going on? I thought you folks were going to be raptured out of this madness that you created. But what happened? Your Jesus don't like you? Oh, okay. You said tomorrow at noon you're going to be raptured. I got you. Okay, we'll wait till tomorrow. We'll see then, too. You know, but, you know, next time I'm on my show, God willing, and we'll ask the same question again. If you were raptured, then shoot. Then I'm going to have to talk to my God to say, my Father to say, you know, hey, Father, you raptured them. Can you rapture me? But I haven't seen that written. And the Father didn't say anything about, I have predetermined Israel to be raptured out onto the planet Mars. I haven't seen that. And I'm quite read, and I'll check these things out, and I'm looking. I'm a student. I am a student of history and a student of prophecy because, I back in the day, I was a Nostradamus fan. I was like, yo, this guy, Nostradamus, man, this guy, he's a prophet. He knows. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, man, I was like, that dude don't really know nothing. He actually is taking that information from these scriptures, you know, these scriptures that we're talking about. See, everybody's taking our stuff, don't want to give us no credit. And now they're getting all mad and all up in arms because we saying who we are. Now, if that ain't the pot calling the kettle black, I don't know what is. As a matter of fact, at the end of the day, that ain't my problem. I still got to fight for my Father. I got to fight for him. I mean, that's the whole point of Israel. We fight for the Father until we decided not to fight for the Father. We decided to go off. Deal with these idols of these Edomites, because that's how Esau got us out of our birthright. Remember that. He was like, yo,
You ain't see, you see that over there? Look at that, what's going on over there? Look at that, look at that, look at that. Don't you want to be part of that? Check that out, you know? Shoot, didn't that taste good? Shoot, didn't that feel good? Go ahead, keep trying. Shoot, that's good. And if I was like, stop. Didn't you, and by the time that we looked up, we in captivity. And this is what happened the entire time, because we were bamboozled by Esau, because Esau, the Edomites, wanted our birthright, our ordained birthright. And he got it for a time. They got it for a time. And now we're talking free will, and they interjected free will into our scriptures. Yeah, free will, so we could control everything. Shoot. We got to have free will. We got to talk about free will. This is my free will to control you. Because if I can talk about free will, then I can talk about divine destiny. I was divinely destined to control you by my free will. Where's that come from? Don't you worry about off with his head. Shoot him in the back. He asking too many questions. Matter of fact, go in and kill him while he's sleeping. You know, don't be fair about it. Be as ruthless as you can. If they sleeping, if they asking for forgiveness, and shoot them down, kill them. Matter of fact, if they even look at you, lynch them. This is the history that nobody wants to talk about. And they want us to feel bad because we saying that we the people. And we're saying that we're the people taking on the responsibility of it. That's the craziest thing. It's not like we saying we the people and YOLO and the hell with you and you guys ain't Jack Boom. We ain't saying nothing to them. We just said, you know, I know who I am. What? You niggas know who you are. These niggas is anti-Semitic. We got to do something about these niggas. What? Wait a minute. I just said that I know who I am, and, you know, why should I be upset about that? It's just like I said, when the Europeans grow up, a European person grows up, and then at a certain point in their life, probably around 13, 14, maybe 12, 13, they come into themselves and they say, oh, I'm French. Oh, I'm German. Oh, I'm Italian. And they instantly get pride on that, and they feel puffed up, and they feel good about who they are. Matter of fact, that becomes a nationalistic pride, right? Well, here we go. We get 13. We're like, yo, who the hell are we? Oh, you black. Well, okay, all right, black. I mean, shoot, what's that mean? Shoot, you African-American. Okay, all right. You American. You should be glad to be here. You could be over in Africa all jacked up on a tree. Oh, okay, all right, I guess I'm American then. No nationalistic pride, which is a given because we were never supposed to have pride in the nations. Our pride came from being Israel, being the fathers. People. So of course we were never going to get pride in that. Even today, you know, when they run around talking about I pledge allegiance or God, you know, bless, or we're going, I don't feel it. I just ain't feeling. I don't feel this stuff. What is this? Oh, you guys can leave it, love it or leave it. You guys can get out of here. No, I'm sorry. I've been here. You guys came here last. What do you mean? You just got here 400 years ago or so. You know, maybe 500 years ago. What are you talking about? I get to leave. Oh, my people. No, see. Yeah, okay, fine. Your people have been here for a long time. Fair enough. So that means that your people killed off my people. Or enslave my people. Oh, no, I have nothing to do. Then what are you talking about? See, this is how we need to flip the script on them. The Father has given us the ability and the know-how, the understanding, the overstanding, the mindset to check them. And that's why these Khazarians don't want no parts of us. They don't want no parts. I'm telling you, they want no parts of us. They knew that they can't win a physical, a spiritual, and a overall metaphysical battle with us. That's why they are boys. That's why they run around. That's why they idolize us. Can't win. They know they can't win. They know this. That's why they utilize their legislative hammer to try to keep us down. But this time they can't do it because the Father is asking them, let my people go so they can go and worship me. Let my people go so they can go and worship, so they can come and worship me. And they're going, oh, no, because if we let them go to go and worship you, then that means that our society's done. And he's going, but I told you that you were going to have this society for a time. And they're going, no, we want more time. You don't get more time. I want more time. We need to have more time. Matter of fact, if we don't get more time, we're going to take them all down. And he's like, are you serious? Are you serious? That's what you want to do. You want to play this game. This is the route that you want to go down. Matter of fact, I've already predetermined that this is the route that you're going to do. So you know what? Come on down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat over here in Ukraine. Bring all your weapons. Bring it all. Come on. You know, it's going to be the heavyweight title fight of eternity. Bring it on. Bring all your demons. Bring your negative energy. Bring your low-hanging fruit. Bring everybody. Bring your nukes. Bring your atomics. Bring all the minerals and all the laser weapons you got. Bring it all. He's setting them up just like Elijah. No. Build the trench. Get that wood, put it around it, and make sure that make it wet. Make it the wettest wood ever you've ever seen. Put a bunch of water on it. Bring it all. Because when I come, I'm coming to put this whoop ass to these nations. These nations aren't going to know what hit them. Make sure you don't be running away in the wintertime. What you doing now? He's bringing this. The coldest winter on record in America, in decades, they said. Decades, okay? All the way from the northwest to the southeast. Northeast to the southwest. Cold, like bitter cold, like 0, 5 degree cold, negative cold. See that your trek ain't in the winter. This is going to get tough on them. They're going to be all with a bunch of mental illness. That's what I was talking about last week. This is where we've come to. And listen, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse, because at the end of the day, when it comes to March, getting around the new year, the Israelite new year, oh, my gracious. I haven't been able to see past, like, February. I haven't been able to see that. I think that, my foreshadowing skills are being blocked because the Father don't want me to see what's really about to go down. And his mental illness is going to be really bad on them. Going to be difficult, and if we're not careful, we'll slip into darkness with them, because this is the time. When it's really cold outside, the attack of negative energy grows. Think about that. People are going to be like, oh, I ain't got this, I can't go to the attack of the Shadim. The increase of specters. It's about to come down. It's about to happen. You know, they talking about on Christmas Day, it's going to be cold. They ain't say nothing about next week. As if they can't even see that far. They all forecasting up to the weekend. As if it's the last time that they ever had any forecasting information. this whole thing is to me, I'm excited, to be honest. I mean, I'm really excited. I mean, I have no fear of anything. I mean, I talk to my daughter, I let her know what's going on. I talk to my wife, I let her know what's going on. I talk to my folks, my dad, my mom, you know, my brother, my sister, I let them know what's going on. My friends, that's all I can do. I'm not here to save the world. I'm here to save me. And if people can gain from me that peace, well, dang, that brother over here, he's trying to save himself. Let me see what he's saving. How do I save myself? Well, then you know what? Cleaving to the right situation. You're doing the right thing. Because, look, I'm not out here lying, cheating, stealing. I ain't got time for that. I'm not out here trying to be a charlatan and say, hey, you know what? Give me likes. Give me money. Give me likes. Give me money. No. No. I you know, these my library, my wife's like, what kind of book is that? What are you getting? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you ain't reading them. I'm reading them, babe. Don't worry about it. I'm taking care of it. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, these books that I got to get. My thing keeps, and every time around this year, I always get a bunch more books. I try to find these books because people be trying to, you know, sell a bunch of books during this time. So I'm like, yo, let me try and find these books. And I've been getting all these books. Like, I went and I got the last book of the Zohar, book 12. Man, amazing, amazing. And I've been reading now. I've been reading a bunch of books. And you know, I'm not sitting here going, I know it all, because I don't know Jack Boom. I don't know Jack Boom. All I know is that I don't know Jack Boom, but I know that I need to keep seeking the Father. That's it. That's like if nothing else, I began to listen to my first inclination. So whenever I come up with something's happening or I got a thought of it, it's my first inclination, not the second, the first one. And if the first one seems out of sorts, then I ponder it to get clarification. But I don't go back. I don't do this yin and yang like I used to do. I used to sit back and think and make a decision, and the decision that I made was never right because I always listened to the second inclination. The first one comes, don't do that, do this. And I'm like, man, the second one goes, man, you be all right, do that. I'd be like, all right, I'm going to go ahead and do that. Why not? But as I advance in age and get older and start understanding and been in these books and been in this walk and honing my talent and my skill and sharpening my sword, the Father's like, listen to me, son. I'm telling you, and I'll be the first to tell you. I'm the first one to tell you the truth. So if he's the first one to tell me the truth, then I need to listen to the first inclination that comes to me. That's just a little bit of how I do it, because I'm just going, you know, I wild out here. They wild. Every time you look around, they wild. They can't keep their legs closed. They can't keep their mouth shut. Every day, archaeologists discover huge lost civilization in Guatemala. You know what I'm saying? Like all these things, new discovery on the Antarctica's ice that scares scientists. You know what I'm saying? I'm just looking at my Google. This is my Google News, you know what I'm saying? Satellite images reveal Saudi Arabia is the line construction process. Come on, man. You know, and there's this one that I saw today. Alien minerals never found on Earth identified in meteorite. You know, heirs of a Jewish art collector are suing the Met Museum for selling a Van Gogh. What? Patriot missile systems will help Ukraine's defense, but experts caution. You know, I mean, winter storms force millions to brace for heavy snow and frigid temperatures. 17 people were injured in the California earthquake that also left 2 dead. Germany returns over 200 artifacts looted in 19th century to Nigeria. Mortgage refinance demand surged 6% as rates dropped to the lowest. A link between hearing loss and autism spectrum disorder. Robert Kiyosaki, The Crash That Will Change a Generation. DNR investigation, hunting incident in Charleston County. China wants COVID patients to go to work. The public isn't so sure. Thousands stranded at Iceland's airport. 2,000-year-old burial cave linked to Salome from Nativity. Like, come on, man. Like they know these things, but they don't know who we are. You see what I'm saying? Like, they're out here putting all this fear out there because they know something's coming. They know something's coming. Sam Bankman Fried's ex-girlfriend, FTX co-founder, plead guilty. Russian space debris forces space station to dodge, delays U.S. spacewalk. Wait, I thought they were stuck. Parents of missing 11-year-old North Carolina girl arrested. How new IRS rules could affect Venmo, Etsy, and Cash App users. Jeopardy host Ken Jennings wants game show to fingerprint players after the champ Ray LaLonde shares a wild story, whatever. We have finally found the land of poop where pharaohs got their gifts. I mean, but they can find poop, but they can't find us. They don't know who the lost tribes are. A new type of fractal has been discovered in magnetic ice. I mean, and these are just some. I mean, there's so much going on and so little time to even be bothered that, you know, and I just put that together because I wanted to show that there's so much going on and that, you know, at the end of the day, all we have is the Father. That's all we have. We don't have to worry about what these Neanderthal Edomites talk about. We don't have to worry about what these perverted Khazarians have to talk about. We don't have to worry about what the degenerate Israelites have to talk about. We don't have to worry. All we have to worry about is the Father. That's it. Worry about how much love we can give him on the daily, how much love we can give to our brothers and sisters on the daily, how much responsibility do we have to accept, and how much responsibility do we need to take. And the rest will follow. The rest will follow. We're all in this together. It's the 100 monkeys syndrome, right? The 100 monkeys experiment. We now, the world is beginning to understand the fullness of the gospel and who's bringing it. Remember that. Who's bringing that gospel? You don't see these Edomite, you don't, matter of fact, the Pope, he busy apologizing. Everybody apologizing. The Dutch apologizing. The Pope apologized. Everybody trying to apologize. Listen, I don't care for your apology. That's what I'm saying. We ain't even listening to him. I don't care for your apology. What you need to do is apologize to the Father. You need to repent. If you repent, then it will show in your actions, and you ain't got to say nothing to me. I don't want your money because you think that you're going to be able to pay me off, just like $5 billion in solar. You know, I don't know if the Africans, I hope these brothers over in Congo and I think the other one was Zimbabwe, that they renege just like America's done. They just renege. They just say, oh, no, don't want to do it. Sorry, at the last minute. Hopefully that's what they're doing. They playing them, because if they decide that they really are all in on this solar thing, I think that it should show people who they are and how they want to be so much like the Edomites, which, you know, a lot of brothers run around talking about, you know, all these people are us. Well, at this stage in the game, the Father is waking his people up.
So if the Edomites come trying to do a deed or do a deal with his people, he's going to be in control of that. So is the Congo our people? Is Zimbabwe, is Africa our people? Maybe so. I don't know. Are they the people? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. All I know is the actions tell the larger story. The actions. So if I'm over here trying to do the right thing, hopefully my actions should show that to those that can see that. Because, again, if I'm doing the right thing and the world doesn't quite understand that someone doing the right thing, they're going to look at that as an agenda because that's all they can understand. It's the wickedness. Oh, well, that dude ain't really doing the right thing, even though he's doing the right thing, but there must be an agenda behind him doing the right thing. No, I'm just trying to do the right thing for the Father. And inadvertently, you get to take part in that right thing, me doing the right thing, that positive energy. Oh, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Family, that's all that we are here to do, is love the Father with all our heart, mind, body, and soul, and love our neighbor as we like to be loved and how we like to be loved. Treat people the way we want to be treated. Love the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for all that you are, all that you were, all that you will be. And the rest, he'll work out. I mean, look at us now. Look how far we've come. Look how far we've come. And look how far they've fallen in such a short time. Seems like it was just yesterday that they were rioting around this time. They were rioting over at the Capitol, shooting and killing, you know, mad. Just like it was yesterday that COVID was broken loose and they had to shut down the world. Just like yesterday that it was 2018 and fools are partying like it's 1999 and telling us that we stupid, we dumb, you don't know what you're talking about. The world's great. Everything's going great. Look how far we've come and look how far they've fallen. And it's not going to get any better for them. And it could and will get better for us as long as we stay on the narrow path. All praise to the Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Praises to the brethren and sisters that are out here doing this work daily, grinding, laboring, and as Brother Main says, in the valley of the vineyard, in the valley of the vineyard, laboring. All praises to them. All praise to Yahushua, the earthly mother, the holy Ruach, and all those Gentiles and heathens. I doubt the heathens, but I just threw them in there. But definitely to all the Gentiles that are on the fence and are looking to be part of us, come on. Just be prepared. Just be prepared. Because this isn't class 101 anymore. We're rolling. We're growing. We're bigger. We're badder. We're better. So you got to catch up, and it's not hard to do. The Father can, by osmosis, put you down. But you got to get involved now. You got to come on in. And all the brothers and sisters that are doing their due diligence, all praises, blessings. May the Father continue with you and strengthen you. For our time has come, Israel. Our time has come. Our time has come. All praises. Shalom.